When the people to whom our Lord was preaching saw the miracle of the healing of the paralytic, they said, "We have never seen anything like this." Indeed, they witnessed an astounding miracle, the healing of this man who was unable to walk, to move around freely. His friends brought him to Jesus, and our Lord literally set him free from his inability to move, his inability to move about freely and to do what he wanted. People said, "We have never seen anything like this," because it was the manifestation of God's power over nature, over the human body, over illness. But our Lord worked this miracle as a sign so that they would be able to see something that they had never seen before. And it wasn't simply the healing of that paralytic's body. He wanted them to see his power to forgive sins. He used the occasion of this man's human need to show forth his ultimate reason for coming into the world. He cares about each and every one of us, and he sees our sorrows and our difficulties, our burdens, our illnesses, our weaknesses, and he cares about every aspect of our life. But his reason for coming into the world is to save us from our sins and to bring us to heaven. He wants all of us to be with him forever in paradise. And so, understanding that deeper need of each and every man, woman, and child, our Lord, in the presence of those who did not believe, those who were disinclined to believe, those who were jealous of him, who were prepared to jump all over him for anything that they might perceive he might do wrong, he worked this miracle pointing to his power to forgive sins. When the paralytic was lowered by his friends to the roof, when they went to these extreme measures to get near to Jesus, our Lord, instead of immediately doing what was obvious, which was to heal this man, that's what he wanted. He wanted to walk. Our Lord told him that his sins were forgiven, and the unbelievers were scandalized, considered it blasphemy that he should speak about a power in himself to forgive sins. And this is when our Lord then finally worked the miracle to show that there is this power residing in him. He has the power of God. He can heal bodies, but more importantly, he can heal souls. And thinking about this miracle and this extraordinary power of God, and you might say the extraordinary faith of the paralytic and the four men who carried him and brought him up onto the roof and lowered him down, we can reflect on the fact that for us, this miraculous power of God to forgive our sins is always available to us, and we very often take it for granted. I know that priests don't hear as many confessions as they used to. A lot of times it's because people don't go to confession, you know, so you can look at it several different ways, but fact of the matter is, it's not really that difficult to get to confession if we wanted to do it. It wouldn't really be all that difficult for us to make frequent confessions, to get to confession perhaps even once a month or once a week. That wouldn't be all that difficult. There are plenty of churches where confession is available. And this is the power of God. It is this miraculous power of God, the power that this paralytic sought and was willing to go to great lengths to obtain it. But there is sometimes a reason why we don't approach the sacrament more frequently and with greater confidence. And there are a number of reasons. And one of them, of course, is that we doubt the mercy of God, that we doubt that He loves us enough to forgive us of our sins. There are things that we are ashamed of, things that cling to our consciences in a morose and depressing way, make us feel like we're worthless, like we don't deserve the mercy of God. There's things that God, not even God, can heal us of. And of course, that's a great deception. Our Lord poured out His blood for each and every one of us, and His desire is to bring us His forgiveness. He doesn't desire to condemn any of us, but to heal us. And the great sacrament of confession is the sacrament of healing. It's not simply a moment of reckoning where we face our sins and face the music. There is that aspect of humbling ourselves before the majesty of God, and it's an essential part of the dispositions that we need to have when we go to confession. But our Lord is there to heal us. He just asks us to humble ourselves. He wants to heal us, not only to forgive us, but to enter into our lives as a doctor, as a healer, and to change us from within. That is the power of the sacrament. And that's what our Lord was pointing to when He worked this healing upon the paralytic. He changed the man from the inside. He gave him a power that naturally he didn't have. He restored his freedom. He restored his ability to move freely and to walk on his own. And that's what our Lord does through the sacrament of confession. And not only is it a kind of legal or juridical declaration of our having been forgiven by God, it is a transformation of our hearts and our souls. It is the restoration, if we're in mortal sin, of God's grace to us. But in any case, even if we're in the state of grace, it is the power of God to heal and to deliver us from our attachments to sin, and it is the sacrament of restoration, the sacrament by which we encounter in a profound way the mercy of God. This is the last Sunday before the beginning of Lent, and during Lent, of course, this great and preeminent penitential season of the year, we have an opportunity to enter into a spirit of reform and renewal in preparation for the celebration of Easter. And we should think about the opportunity that God gives us to obtain His mercy and to grow in the spiritual life. And we should ask Him, through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin, to have the grace to make good confessions and to believe in His power. It is a fundamental deception of the devil to keep us away from God's mercy, to deceive us into thinking that sin is more powerful than God's grace, that our sins are more significant than the mercy of God. It is the deception of Satan that keeps us locked and imprisoned to our sins, keeps the monkey on our back. It is a huge deception. It is a lie, because God's power is infinite. And in his suffering, death, and resurrection, his mercy, his truth, his justice, his charity is the last word. It is the final determination of each life, and his grace is always there for us. And so we can then, again, as we conclude, reflect upon the availability of that mercy for each and every one of us, and ask him for the grace of true repentance. Ask God and the Blessed Mother for the grace of a truly contrite heart. You know, when we go to confession, our responsibility is to make what theologians call an integral confession. It means that all the elements that go into being truly repentant are there. You know, if we're only sorry for some of our sins but not all of them, then it's not really true contrition, because God deserves, you know, a sincere heart. And we can't just, you know, be sorry for some of our sins, because that's not ultimately sincere. So we have to confess all of our sins and be sorry for all of them, and have not just remorse, which is, you know, I wish I hadn't done it, but, you know, I'm not so sorry that I would stop it. I'm not so sorry for having stolen this that I would be willing to give it up, that type of thing. That's remorse, but it's not true contrition, because we're not really willing to separate ourselves from the sin. And these things are kind of obvious. We know in our hearts. We don't have to have some kind of deep theological understanding to realize that there's a difference between a sincere and complete confession of our sins and one which is sort of, you know, legalistic and looking for, you know, the loophole and the way around truly cooperating with God. You know, those elements of our own repentance are necessary for receiving the fruit of the sacrament. And sometimes, in respect to mortal sin, they're essential. You know, if we don't have true repentance for our mortal sins, our confessions are not valid. But the paradox is that those graces to be truly repentant are part of the sacrament. We need to beg Jesus and his Blessed Mother for the grace of true repentance. It is a grace. And it is a, you know, a gift from God, and it's a gift that God wishes to give us. And none of us have ever done anything so bad that grace will be deprived of us if we ask it with a sincere heart. And so during Lent, we should have great confidence in the mercy of God. And if sometimes we are tempted to doubt, let us remember the very simple prayer of the devotion to the Divine Mercy: Jesus, I trust in you. And sometimes we just need to repeat that over and over again to know that he is on our side. God is on our side. He is not against us. He has come for the sake of sinners, and he wishes to bring us into eternal life. And so let us express our confidence in the Lord and do all that we can to love him with our whole heart, because he deserves that love, because love is returned by love alone. And we experience his love for us every time we attend the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, every time we think about his precious blood which he has poured out for us, and every time we think about how available his mercy is for us, especially in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation.
Misericordes oculos, ad nos. priesthood.